The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And we begin the second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins. It is December 12th, 2019. And I have my good friend, Vincent Finelli, and host on the network also, and also on GCN USA Prepares. Before we go back to the phones here in Chicago to talk to Jerry about his problem, his truck problem, I want to put a challenge out there. Now, Vincent and I talk a lot about mechanics. I'm always trying to figure out this and this. And if I have a question, I'll throw up by Vinny. And Vinny always has an answer. I have not stumped this guy yet. He's kind of, you remember the days back when Click and Clack were on NPR. I used to love that show, NPR, Click and Clack. I thought, these got to be the two smartest guys I've ever heard in my life. How do they know so much about cars? To find out later on, it wasn't that they knew so much about cars, but they actually had, it was never a live show. I used to actually do some research. They got the questions, and they made it seem like it was a live broadcast. But Vincent has a lot of answers, so I'm going to throw a challenge out there to anybody who has a problem with their automobile today. Now, Vincent can pretty much answer any question. Year of 2004, and he told me he'd be willing for that challenge. So if you got a car up to the year 2004, you have a question, an automotive question, please call in 1-800-313-9443. Is that fair enough? Vincent, can you handle that challenge?
Sure. Good. And we can
go back to the phones here and talk to Jerry in Chicago.
Yeah.
Jerry, you're back on.
Okay. Well, what I was getting to was I have had my transmission fluid changed from a transmission shop now since 2005, and that's the year of the van. Every single year, and just over the last maybe 2 years, he suggested that I do my rear end and transmission every 6 months. Now that van is also going on 15 years old, and I don't run it at 8,000 pounds of gross weight. I run it at about 9,600 pounds of gross weight. So, I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, okay. I've got an answer for that. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Jerry, because that was one of the things I wanted to mention. We, as you know, we have a lift here at our farm. And our son, who was trained by me, mostly, he's got a following. People come here and they show up with vehicles and they go, hey, I've got a problem and can you fix it? And that's because the local guys don't really seem to understand automobile mechanics as much. So we see a lot of different vehicles here. We see one-ton vans. We see three-quarters. We see three-quarter ton trucks, half-ton trucks, quarter-ton like Jeeps. And of course, crossovers and SUVs and automobiles. Here's something that I have found, and it's the differential fluid. We can call it gear oil. And what happens is it disappears. So, for example, typically what you would do, have you ever checked the fluid yourself on the differential on your car or the rear axle, Jerry? Have you done that yourself?
Negative, no.
Okay, well, let me explain how you do it. So you have a solid axle, and you've got leaf springs in the back. So it's not like you have four-wheel independent suspension. The axle's solid, and there is a differential at the center. Sometimes it's called a pumpkin. Well, in that pumpkin is the differential gears, the ring and pinion, and some bearings, and it gets hot. The more load you have on that vehicle, that hotter that differential gets. And as it gets hot, the differential oil, the gear oil 85W140, disappears. It just volatilizes. And whenever I check a vehicle, it's always missing. And I look for leaks and I can't find any. So what happens is I know it's the temperature of the oil, especially in the summer, it just disappears. So can you drain it? Of course. Can you change it? Of course. Do you have to do it very often? No. There generally is a magnet inside the differential, and it's on the differential cover, that stamped steel bowl, if you will, that's bolted on the back of the differential. Normally, there's a magnet there, and as the little pieces of gear and ring and pinion and so forth break off, they get trapped by the magnet so they don't do more damage. I think you should change your differential fluid like every 100,000 miles. And that's what I did on my truck. So I don't think you need to do it every 6 months or every year. I think, you know, 100,000 miles is fine. But what I do is I use synthetic differential gear oil, not conventional, because the temperature rating and the temperature at which the oil volatilizes and burns is much higher for synthetic. And you might pick up about a half a mile per gallon if you moved from conventional differential oil to fully synthetic. Those are my thoughts. Oh, I've got another thought.
Okay.
Some people...
Okay, well...
Let me tell you the rest of it. I've got one more piece of this. Some people would recommend, there are usually no drain plugs on differentials, you know, straight axle differentials. So what you do is you change that oil when it's warm. So you come in from a run, you know, you've used it for a half hour or more, it's warm, then you take those bolts off the differential cover, and then you drain it. And then you wash out the inside of that cover in a parts washer, and you get any foreign material that's stuck on there. Now, the reason I recommend that is doing it that way when it's warm is because you have more particles in suspension rather than particles that have fallen down to the bottom of the differential and just stay there. And I do not recommend using a like a turkey baster or something like that to withdraw the fluid, because you can't get it all out. You can't get the important damaging particles and sediment in the bottom of the differential. It won't come out. So you have to actually open it up. So those are my thoughts on the differential.
Okay, well, that's what he does over there with the differential. The transmission, he pumps it through, and he changes the filter, pulls off the pan, and he charges mm-hmm. me approximately $175 to do this every 6 months. And
he does both of them for
$175? $175 for the two of them on the big truck and the little car. He charges me about $80 to change the transmission fluid. And I do that once a year. And I'm a firm believer in your life's blood of your vehicle is your fluids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what brand and type of fluid is he using? Do you know?
Oh boy, I never even questioned. But you know,
I think you should. I think you should question that. Not that you don't like this guy, but I can tell you this: we have had not good experience with SuperTech transmission fluid. Not good. So we use, and this is not a commercial. This is I've talked to the tech support people. I've talked to the factory. I like Valvoline. Now, it's not that I don't like Castrol. It's just that I haven't had any experience with Castrol. So we really like the Valvoline products for the transmission fluids because we have not had any problems with that. But yes, we have with SuperTech, which has the same darn ratings. So it's kind of like, I don't believe what I'm reading. Now, Walmart may sue me for saying, hey, you know, how would you know? Well, all I know is I've had transmission failures with SuperTech, and I have not with Valvoline.
Okay, so not, well, like not I say, I haven't had a failure on anything, and I trust this guy. My father trusted his father, and my whole family takes their vehicles to this guy. So, you know, and he treats us right. He's honest.
All right, let me ask you another question. So he changes your oil too, your engine oil?
No. No, I take my engine oil changes to Mobil 1 right around the corner from me for the last 18 years on vehicles before this one.
Okay, I have a recommendation for you. And that is, if they make one change, and I don't think they do this, but I think if they made this one change, it would be great. When I do an oil change, I only change the oil when it's hot. So that means that I come in from a run, let's say at least a half hour, and I immediately, I mean within a couple minutes, literally a couple minutes, like two, I've got the oil filter out and the drain plug out because everything's already waiting for me to drain the oil. And it's on a level surface because the galleries and the way the engine's designed is to drain back to the oil pan when it's level. So you get most of the oil out when the engine's level. Then I let it drain overnight. Now, they're not going to do that. And the difference between overnight and, let's say, 3 or 4 minutes after the oil drain plug is pulled out is a cup of dirty oil. That's the difference. That stays in your engine unless you drain it overnight. And you can experiment and you can prove it to yourself. So that's one thing. The other thing I'd like to suggest that you do is what I did with John Stadtmiller when he came over here. And that was, we changed his oil, we pre-fill the oil filter with oil.
Right.
So instead of putting on an empty oil filter, we fill the oil filter with the same oil that's going to go in the engine. And the reason for that is you can save about 10,000 miles of wear by doing that each time you do it. Because when you start your engine, your oil pump is going to pick up the oil from the oil pan and start filling the oil filter, and then it will travel on through all the oil galleries to the bearings and so forth. So it takes several seconds of pumping the oil from the drain pan or from the oil pan into the filter before you have oil pressure. And you can see that yourself on your oil pressure gauge or your indicator light. Okay? So pre-fill the oil filter. Those are the only, and drain it when it's hot. Those are the only two additional recommendations because I like Mobil 1.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because my dad was a machinist and that's how he taught us to change our own motor oil on our cars, was you always filled your oil filter first.
But so nobody does it.
You hit it right on the head.
Nobody does it. And why? Because it takes two more minutes. Maybe three. And why don't they let it drain overnight? Because you'd be holding up their lift. They've got other customers. I mean, as much as they like you,
right,
they got work to do. Okay? So I would suggest
Thank you.
Okay. I would suggest you change your own engine oil and do it the way I do it.
It's easy.
Drain it overnight.
Well, I wish I had the availability to do that because I would do it. I live in an apartment, and it's just not feasible, you know, and properly getting rid of the oil and everything else like that. So,
hit
it right on the head, Mike.
Okay.
So, thank you very much, Vince.
Okay. All right. Okay. Very good. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate your call there, Jerry. Appreciate your call. We're going to move on to other callers here before we go to a break. And I've got Al in West Virginia. You're on the show.
Hi, guys. Hey, I'm 100% believer in that filling up the oil filter. My guys in the garage always made sure that they abided by that rule in the garage.
Good.
And I also look for an oil filter that has a check valve in it, is what I do. Always make sure it's got a check valve if possible.
Yeah, well, sometimes the engine manufacturers don't want one in there, depending on the orientation of the filter. If you screw it in with the base up, you're talking about a valve so that the dirty oil doesn't go back in the engine, right?
No.
Is that what you're talking about? There's two valves. There's a bypass valve. There's a bypass valve and a check valve.
Yeah.
The bypass valve is if your oil filter gets plugged up, it will send unfiltered oil through the rest of the system so your engine doesn't blow.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. But
you're talking about the anti-drain back valve, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that the filter's right. Constantly staying tip-top to the top so that there's no air, no nothing.
Yeah.
And then when you start it, there's not even a half a second or maybe a second. You know, not even that when it for the oil to build back up pressure, but
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, what I was calling about, and I use Wix myself. I'm a firm believer in Wix filters, and of course, Motorcraft had the one with the check valve in it for the Fords. what I was calling about was I was going to throw a few tips out there if you accept them. On automatic
Absolutely.
Transmissions, I live in the hill country, and we get a lot of ice and snow in the wintertime. And there's so many people that I've noticed hasn't been trained, at least I think my proper way, which is the way I was raised, and it does work. When you have an automatic transmission and you're heading down a hill, instead of just using your brakes and leaving it in gear, slide it up into neutral, barely use your brakes. That won't slide the front wheels. Ever since they came out with the, especially with the disc brakes, because they'll grab, 60% and your rear ones are like, seem to only do about 40%, but your front wheels will want to lock up. You got your rear end trying to push the front end. Well, it still works the same with the front wheel drive cars. And if you notice, especially in snow, you can almost put a car in neutral unless it's a real steep hill, and it'll almost slow itself down just from the snow, But when you have it in gear, it's constantly pushing and pulling against the vehicle while you're still trying to hit the brakes to make sure you're keeping a slight speed to go down the hill and navigate the hill and the curves, and that works very well. And the other thing I would like to say is, always have an ice chest, keep some canned food, keep something in there, and flashlight, and things that you might need in case you do get in the ditch, along with a tow strap somewhere in the trunk, because you just never know. And it sure is nice if you're waiting on somebody for 3 or 4 hours to be able to snack on a peanut butter cracker or something and have something to drink, like water. And a cooler will keep this stuff from freezing, like your water and so forth, when it's, 0 degrees out. So that's really all I had to say about
that. I agree with you. I agree with you. I just have a couple other things that I'd want to bring along with the cooler and the some kind of a drink. And I recommend distilled water in case you overheat. You can always put that in your cooling system. If you need to top off your battery, you've got the right water for that. And if you need to drink it, you can drink it. And in addition to that, of course, a breaker bar, a 25-inch breaker bar, half-inch drive with the correct socket. And I always keep that right by my left side of my driver's seat in case I need to loosen some lug nuts or tune somebody up who's giving me a problem.
Yeah, or break your side of your wind out if you get turned upside down in a pond or a lake.
There you go. And if you have to do that, you aim for the corner of the window, not the center. Very good points. Thanks for calling us.
Al, I thank you for your call. Short commercial break. We'll be right back. We got three more in the loop. More calls for Vincent Finelli. This is the National Intel Report.
No reason to get excited.
Tired of being lied to by mass media?
It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we are back. This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkin sitting in for John Stadmiller today, and I have my good friend and broadcaster Vincent Finelli with me, and we're having a lot of fun. This is like click and clack. You people get lucky here to talk to an expert here who knows how to break down a car, how to fix a car, and I suggest y'all take advantage of it up to the year of 2004 for your automobiles. Call in. You got a question for Vince? See if you can stump him. I don't think you're going to be able to. I can't. And we're going to go right back to the phones here. We've got Jerry in Iowa. You're on the show.
Yeah, hi, Vince. Say, I got a Pontiac Vibe, an 05, and it's coming up to 90,000 miles, and they told me that at 90 you should drain the transmission or flush it out. I was wondering if you just drain it and add to it, that'd be cheaper. Would that work out?
Here's the problem. The torque converter, there's a couple passages. There are three places where the transmission fluid can hide out. Of course, the oil pan, the transmission pan, and the valve body. That's one. The torque converter is another. and the transmission cooler and plumbing is another. So if you want to get half of it, and that's a really good start. It really is. So if you pull the transmission pan and let it drip overnight, you're going to get at least half of it out. And then if you want to do it the easy way, you can, well, if you, of course, you want to change the filter. So if you've got 90,000 miles on it, you want to change the transmission filter as well. So you're taking the pan off anyway, and you probably don't have a drain plug. So pan comes off, the transmission filter comes off, you replace it, then you, what you should do is measure how much transmission fluid came out. And that way you can have a good start in putting about that much back in. You might have to add a little bit more. But, you know, a little bit, you know, like a quarter of a quart can move you way up on that dipstick, you know, halfway up that dipstick. So you got to be really careful when you're adding transmission fluid. So start with how much you've drained out. But I really like the idea of changing the transmission filter, because all of that dust, that friction material dust, is stuck on the transmission filter. Now, some of it, of course, is on the bottom of the transmission pan. So you want to clean that up. Are you going to do this yourself?
I don't know. I think I was going to ask you, should I go to like a transmission shop?
Well, you're not going to get it done for $50. You can do it for $50 yourself. If you do it yourself, it's about $50. If you have them do it, it's going to be $175 or so. I think you ought to learn how to do it.
Yeah, but it's 22 below out.
No, you want to do it in summer.
Florida, right up here in Minnesota. Yeah, I'm up in Minnesota right now.
Yeah, you want to do it in the summer.
Yeah. My motor
I recommend doing it, but if you're only going to put, you know, another few thousand miles on it between now and the summer, just do it in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wait.
All right. It's probably pretty clean what's in there. I don't know how they determine 90,000, I suppose, but my motor oil, right. I drive that for 3 months, and it looks like it's brand new when I look on the dipstick.
Okay, well, the dipstick is misleading on the engine oil, because you need to wipe it on a white paper towel and then look at it, okay? But it's going to look better. It really is going to look better on that white paper towel than it is when you drain it out. So, you know, I often look at the color of the engine oil, and I relate that to how much dirt and combustion byproducts are in the engine oil. So the dirtier it is, the more I'm interested in changing it. I don't like to let it go more than 5,000 miles anymore. I don't think, you know, for the kind of driving we do around here with the dust on the dirt road that we live on, 5,000 is it. So I don't like to go much past that. But as far as why 100,000 miles, I think if the color of the transmission fluid is pink, nice bright pink, that means it hasn't overheated. That means it has not overheated. When it goes brown, that's when it's overheated. That's when there's damage. So you can probably go easily to the summer and then get on YouTube, look at how to do it for your particular vehicle, and I think you'll have some fun. I really do. But I don't recommend that you put I don't recommend using RTV, that silicone-type gasket material, on these rubber gaskets, because that will make it leak, believe it or not. It's the wrong thing to do. You put those on dry. Okay, so you'll find a transmission RTV? Filter. Excuse me?
What's it called again?
RTV. It's a RTV. Gasket material. It's like a silicone gasket maker. Do not use that on a rubber gasket.
No.
Just don't do that. But I think if you can get safely under the vehicle, I think you'd have some fun doing that.
Yeah. But it's kind of expensive to have it flushed out, because you waste a lot of oil then.
You do. And you can do it for $50 or less by yourself.
Wow. Jerry, I thank you for your call. And we're going to go to a short commercial break again. And we have four more callers in the loop. So, Vince, get prepared. We'll be right back. This is the National Intel Report.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are back. This is the National Intel Report. Taking your calls. We're doing a lot of auto repair questions. Everything for Vincent Finelli. You can't stump this guy. It's impossible. We're going to go right back to the phones here. Larry in Texas, you're on the show.
Yes. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great.
Hello.
What's your question? What's your question, Larry?
Well, it's not a question. Actually, I actually did oils, did testing on oils. And I wanted to share some information. You might have a pencil and paper ready.
Okay, got it.
But we did testing. This testing we did over and over and over and came out with the same result. Do you know the worst oil you can put in a car engine?
Tell us.
Do you know which brand that would be?
No, I do not.
Thins oil. So we had a braking thing. We were what we did is we had a pin and block with a drill press. We put some oil down in a pre-drilled hole in the steel block, and we wear it in just lightly, and then press down. And we had a pressure gauge that told how much pressure we were putting on it. And we would start and just little by little add pressure until it would lock up. And I'll give you the results that we came out with, and it happened over and over again. Benzoyl would break at 20 to 40 PSI.
Recycled. How about Quaker State? How about Quaker State? It's right up there with Benzoyl, right?
No, it's not. It's actually much better. Benzoyl was the worst. It was worse than recycled oil because they put paraffins. It's wax in wax, with the oil.
Right.
Okay, so next was recycled oil. And believe it or not, you can get 80 PSI in the same test, okay? Castor oil, Quaker State, and there was one other one. I cannot remember it. It's been quite a while back.
Probably Wolf's Head.
No, we didn't do that. It's a common known brand. Is it something? No, Castor oil is a GTX, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's another one, Quaker State and Castor oil, and there was one other one. All of them broke between 120 and 140 PSI. Now, understand, Benzoyl was 20 to 40. That's how bad that is.
What you're talking about, I believe, is that we're finding that paraffin-based oils do not lubricate and protect as well as oils that are outside of Pennsylvania. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not finished yet, because I'll tell you. You, Vincent, you're very, very wise. This Valvoline is the best non-synthetic oil that we tested.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that back. There are two other oils that are above that, but they're for diesel engines, and those are Rotella and Dello.
Yeah.
But the Valvoline broke at 220 to 240. It's twice as good as the Quaker State and the others. But Pennzoil is so far down there, it's awful. Okay, then.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, though, because the big racing teams, unless they're using a different Pennzoil, I would think that they would know. Roger would know, and he wouldn't be using that oil. Maybe it's a different kind of Pennzoil.
No, I can almost guarantee you that they are not using that oil, because it's mechanics say that they know when you've been using Pennzoil, because it gets all gummed up in the engine. It's really not good for it. Okay, so next,
Jerry,
Rotella and Dello is like 250 to 260. And that is just really, really good oil. Okay, so the best oil that we tested, we didn't test all the other synthetics. I never got around to doing that. But the best was AMSOIL, because it's top of the line. AMSOIL, what breaks at 300 PSI. With Valvoline being so close, the just your standard Valvoline oil is almost as good as a synthetic. And I have not tested the Valvoline synthetic. I'm sure it's going to be excellent. But we had a product that we donated to RBN years ago, and they used to sell it. But it's called IXL. And when you add this to the mix, it cut friction. And our gauge and the drill press that we did our testing on, it would almost break before it would freeze up. But we'd get 600 PSI with that, just by adding that to the oil, little drop of it.
Interesting.
So anyways, that's friction causes wear, and actually friction is wear. When you can cut friction, you're cutting wear. And so Valvoline is for an all-around motor oil that's non-synthetic. Valvoline is the best there is. I thought I'd share that with y'all.
I think that's great. And what I've found is that Wolf's Head is not a very good lubricating oil, although it's been available on the East Coast for a very long time. I agree with you about AMSOIL. I found that it doesn't volatilize very easily. So if you start with a full crankcase of AMSOIL, at the time of 10,000 miles, you probably pretty much have a full crankcase without having added any. So AMSOIL is absolutely incredible, but it's $11 a quart. And the other thing is I use Rotella, Delo, and Delvac in engines, and I recommended that Steve use 15W40 diesel engine oil in his air-cooled generator.
Yeah. Right.
For the same reason, Jerry, that you mentioned.
Yes. Okay. Well, I hope that's helpful to somebody. Okay.
Absolutely.
It is. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jerry, for that information. We're going to go back to the phones here. I've got three more lined up here we need to get through before we get to a break here. Ed in Chicago, you're on the show.
Hello.
Hello, Ed.
Hi, Steve.
You're on with Vincent Finelli. What's your question?
I don't really have a question. I want to thank Vince for every time I listen to him. I always learn something like he was saying, and I wanted to say to Jerry, I believe he's talking about the same transmission place, and they were super honest. I had my transmission on a 3500 dually pickup, not a diesel gas engine, but rebuilt, and it took a dump, and I brought it back, and he rebuilt it again for nothing. And the father is gone now. I think he's on 87th and Southwest Highway. Anyway, I wanted to thank you for, I never heard that all my life filled the filter first. And now I've been doing that. I got a 2012 diesel F-250 and I bullet. I wanted to ask you about, did you ever hear of bulletproofing your diesel?
Tell me exactly what you mean by bulletproofing. You talking about shot peening? Are you talking about blueprinting the engine? Are you talking about using heavier fasteners? What do you mean?
It's like a generic term that they use for taking all the EGR off, all the exhaust, no more diff fluid on your diesel.
Okay, I don't have any diesel engines that I work on that have diesel exhaust fluid diff. All of the ones that I buy are older and they don't have those devices. But I can tell you this, and this is probably against the code, against regulations.
Correct.
I can tell you this, that putting exhaust gas back into the combustion chamber is dumb. It's crazy. It's like hooking up your septic system to your kitchen sink. I mean, to the supply of your kitchen sink, like the cold water. It's dumb. And what it's designed to do is to lower emissions. But at the same time, you're lowering efficiency. So you use more fuel to produce lower emissions. And I would think if you improve the efficiency, you would use less fuel and you'd have less emissions. But that's not what we do. So I can tell you this, that by defeating the exhaust gas recirculation system on a diesel engine or a gasoline engine, I experimented with this. I won't say when, where, or how, but I have, and all the engines run better, all of them. And I've done it on the track, and they make more horsepower as well.
Correct. And, well, I actually did it, and I took all that crap off there. No more depth fluid, and the thing is like a rocket now.
Sure. Because it's running the way it should be running. So I can't recommend doing that because it's against the law. But for those who have researched it and tried it, I think they found it what you found. And what can you do? You can probably get another 20% more miles per gallon by doing that. Let me just say one thing. I know Steve wants me to hurry up, but I can tell you this. In 1994, there was a 6.5 turbo diesel engine that General Motors made. They put them in half-ton trucks, and they put them in three-quarter-ton trucks. The one with the three-quarter-ton truck was exactly the same engine with no exhaust gas recirculation. The 1.5-ton had exhaust gas recirculation. Everything was identical except for that. And the 3/4-ton ran better, longer, cooler, more power, more miles per gallon. Everything was better.
Right. Right. Hmm? I remember that. Right. And I'm gonna sign off, but I want to thank you for all your knowledge and information. I always learn something. Thank you very much, fellas.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate your call. We're going to go back to the phones. Two more lined up here. Tom in Florida, you're on with Vincent Finelli.
Yeah, good day to you, Steve and Vince. Yeah, by the way, that one guy who was talking about the transmission, I got a little recommendation for him. I think you should get a bottle of Lube Guard. They sell it at Napa. Put that in with your transmission fluid. It'll help you train a lot. Also, you're talking about the other caller's talking about the oils. Havoline was a very good oil, too, at one time, but Valvoline is probably the best non-synthetic. The one guy is talking about the oils. I'll let him know. He's not gonna, when he does a study on synthetics, he's going to find Mobil 1's the best oil there's ever probably been created is Mobil 1. He's going to find that out. Mobil 1 is a top oil you can buy, my opinion. Also, Wortel is a great oil, too.
Hold on one second. Bang for the buck, yes, but I still think AMSOIL is better than Mobil 1. I really do.
Okay, well, let me ask
but
you this, Vince.
Twice
Vince,
the price.
You know anything about transmissions, why they actually heat up, why the transmissions get hot? You know what they were putting in transmission fluid up till 1974, sir?
Yeah, they were using whale oil.
They were using whale oil. You also realize they were whale oil, also what they were using from the whale, other than oil?
Well, let's hear it.
The whale oil is a tremendous additive, but they were actually...
Yeah, we ran out of whales.
Well, not
we killed
now the Japanese still go get the whales, but they were actually making perfume out of whales. That's where you get your perfume from.
Yeah, they do. And
the way it's how they get it from when the whale takes a dump in the ocean. That's where they get the.
Actually, it's not the dump. It's the burp up. Tom,
yeah,
it's
the
when they belch up this nasty stuff on the ocean. They scoop that up,
correct.
And it's actually a burp up. Yeah.
By the way, gentlemen, I got a recommendation for all your callers and you guys. Have you seen the movie Ford versus Ferrari yet?
No.
Yes, I have.
Okay. If you saw the movie, it was a fantastic movie. I recommend people who hadn't seen it to see it. They love cars. It's a great movie. Definitely a true story with Shelby and all that. And Vince, you remember the part where Henry Ford's in there with Shelby and he's pointing out to the factory? And you remember what he says?
Well, he wanted to win it at all costs.
Yes, I understand that. He spent $9 million on the car, but the brakes still gave out. I mean, mm-hmm. because, you know, the brakes are, you know. But I'm asking you, do you remember the part when, you know, by the way, Christian Bale did most of his stunts in that movie. You know, like, he was like Steve McQueen, and you had Steve McQueen doing a lot of stunts mm-hmm. in Bullet, and you had Paul Newman did it. He was a great race car driver, too, believe it or not. But right. In the movie, Henry, the guy who played Henry Ford, and you had Matt Damon playing Carroll Shelby. You remember he is pointing out the facts, what he is saying? You remember that one line he says when he's in
tell us all.
Sweet a pop. Well, he points on, he goes, Hitler didn't lose the war. Remember he says Hitler didn't lose that war?
Yeah.
Didn't lose the war. His father won the war. Remember that part? And he's pointing out how great the city of Detroit was. He was pointing out that the city of Detroit is a great city, and that's where all the manufacturing was to actually hold off the brunt of the Nazis and Adolf Hitler. And it was basically that area of Detroit that was pumping out all these planes and stuff, if you remember what he said.
Yeah, we could out-manufacture the Germans. We could press steel faster, but they were into quality, and we were into quantity. I mean, the Sherman tank versus Panzer. I mean, the Messerschmitt was an incredible, incredible airplane. So they had great, great quality. And I still think that Mercedes is the finest automobile, considering everything that's made for most people. I really believe that.
I totally agree with you. I agree with you on that. Totally, Vince.
Yes.
I was wondering, as far as the oil goes, you know about the castor oil, correct?
No, what about it?
You know what they were using, the additive they were using for that oil back in when they, because that was the oil came out in World War II, castor oil.
You ever heard
of castor bean?
Castor oil, yes. Yeah, and Norm Shealy talks about castor oil as well and wrapping your body in it to detoxify. Yes.
Correct. Yes, and the bean is actually grown here. They get a lot of castor beans, believe it or not. It's a wild, like, tree they have here in Florida, mm-hmm. Okay, in South Florida. And the castor bean, also not that they were getting an oil product, but actually it's a very one of the most poisonous poisons on earth out of the castor bean. Oh. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Interesting. No, I didn't know that.
Yes. And that's where, and it's actually like it's a wild, it's like a plant, but it can grow up to be like the size of a tree. It's really a weird plant, very big plant. But yeah, go ahead. I just thought the movie Ford and Ferrari is excellently done, and there's a lot of knowledge in that movie that I think everybody who goes to see it is going to come out with their heads saying, you know, wow, man, the technology of, because even how, if you saw the movie, how he had to bring Henry Ford II into the car because he couldn't, the other guy was trying to stop him. Iacocca was wishy-washy in that, they play, make him sound, you know, wishy-washy in that movie. I thought it was really well done. And so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure you'd like it.
Hey, Tom, I thank you for your call. I got another caller here lined up, and they're calling from Florida also. So, hey, thanks for your call, Tom. And we'll go back to the phones here. Phil in Florida, you're on the show.
Yeah, Vinny, what about changing a muffler on a Honda Accord? Can you just cut it off and put in, another one on, or they got to change the whole system?
I don't work on Asian cars very often. I really don't. I'm not as impressed with Asian cars as most people are. When I look underneath them and I see how they're rusting, and when I look underneath and see how thin the structural components are, I'm not impressed. But then again, I'm comparing them to Mercedes. And I worked on a Lexus V6, and I didn't like it at all. You know, in order to change three spark plugs on the back side of the engine, meaning closest to the steering wheel, closest to the driver, you've got to take the intake manifold off. I think that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not, and the same thing is with the Ford Escort too, but so I'm really not, I don't work on them very much, but I can tell you this. When I used to race cars back in the 1970s, I tried all kinds of modifications in the work area of the racetrack. So I'd make a modification, I'd run down the track. And I was pretty consistent as a driver. And I found out that when I eliminated all the back pressure of the exhaust system, meaning running open headers, my engine ran worse than it did with the factory mufflers, believe it or not. So the engines are really designed to have some back pressure. And I've read stories and I've read articles about what happens with these guys that put these megaphones on the back of their Asian four cylinders, and they actually lose horsepower. So I think the best way to go, and I told Steve this before the broadcast, when it was talking about spark plugs off the air with Steve, the best way to go, I really believe, is the original equipment. However, I would really like the idea of not having a catalytic converter. That I really like.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, if you take off the cat, the engine sensors, the oxygen sensors look at the temperature of the exhaust gas, and they're looking for a delta before and after the cat. So if you don't have a cat, you have to fake out the oxygen sensor so the computer will give you the right air-fuel mixture. And I think there's something similar but not exactly the same going on with the engine and the exhaust and the muffler. So you do need to have some back pressure. So I would think that, and I've experimented with lots of mufflers. I have. Some mufflers only go on one way. Some you can turn around backwards, put them on backwards or forwards. Some you can't. I've experimented with glass packs, steel packs, straight pipes, the whole nine yards. And I think you're going to be best off using the exact muffler that it calls for. And I used to be a muffler guy at Sears Automotive you know, my first job. And yeah, you can cut the muffler off. You can use a muffler cutter. I have one, and it's kind of like a pipe cutter. You can cut the tailpipe and the exhaust pipe, put the muffler in between, weld it up. Sure you can. But I'm not sure I understand your question, but I hope that helps a little bit.
Okay, well, what I see is they want like $500, and they showed the long pipe that goes up. They got the whole pipe, that assembly that comes with, you know, with the muffler. So, anyways, okay.
Okay. I do have an answer for that. There are exhaust shops, you know, muffler shops, and what they will do is they will take a muffler that has, you know, some sound deadening capability. You don't want one that's too small. They can cut that old one off and put the new one on and use your existing exhaust pipe. The exhaust pipe goes from the engine to, let's say, the muffler. And then the tailpipe will go from the muffler back. So, yes, you can. And you're looking at, if you had it done around here, $50, 50, for the whole job. Muffler, welding, everything.
I'm afraid they're going to say, oh, you know, you need this whole piping system, and I think it's a con job, but I'm not sure. So,
well, no, you don't. Unless it's rusted through, no, you don't.
Right.
No, and a muffler. I would go to an independent.
The pipe on the con is aluminum, so it doesn't rust.
Yeah, go to an independent.
It's not aluminum. It's aluminized. Okay. No, okay. It's steel. Aluminum. You'd have a puddle of aluminum under your car because it would melt. No, it's aluminized. It's steel, or it's stainless steel. But no, you can replace just the muffler. In that case, I would do that, because if you're looking at $500, even if your mileage went down 1 mile per gallon, you're going to go a long way before you burn $500. So I would have that muffler replaced. Sure.
Well, Vincent, we got 9 calls tonight. Not bad. Not bad at all.
So we rate this by the number of calls?
No, we don't. But I felt that today was a very good show. Very informative. Thank you for coming on today. And we didn't quite get to everywhere we wanted to go. We have lots more territory, which means you have to come back. We'll have to do this again and do Chapter 3. We're still not done. We got a lot more topics to get through, and to being prepared for this winter, our cars, our automobiles. So, but I had a good time. I had a lot of fun today.
Do we have 2 minutes?
Yeah, we still do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about this? How about if we talk about buying tires the way I buy them?
Okay.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right.
About so maybe one, two minutes tops. Nope. Oh, take it back. I lied. Vincent Finelli, thank you for joining me today. John Stadtmiller should be back tomorrow. I'm almost certain he'll be back tomorrow. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night. Take America back. We must take America back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.